Lord, teach us to be patient, endlessly patient, and to remember that compassion lights the world and kindness lasts forever. Amen. For those of you who find yourself in the middle of the week running out of things to think about, or if you're lying awake at night and you have nothing to think about, or you need a distraction, perhaps you might want to think about this. Is God your neighbor? Is God your neighbor? Now, back to regularly scheduled programming. When I sit down to reflect on the scriptures to prepare a homily, it's a process that can be very, very easy, and everything sort of falls into place, or it can be very, very challenging, and one wonders, what am I going to do with these lessons? So imagine my great delight when I sat down to read these lessons, and the first six words of the first lesson from Isaiah made me really smile. Shout loud, and don't hold back. What justification for a New Yorker with a big mouth? I was so... my friend Rose is shaking her head, she knows. When the prophet Isaiah gives you permission to have a big mouth and to shout it out, what more could you possibly ask for? But I also started thinking about my ordination vows as a deacon in the church. And one of those vows is to interpret the hopes and the fears of the world and the frustrations of the world to the church. And that, these days, is not very easy. That presents a great deal of challenges. A colleague of mine in Chicago last Sunday stepped out before his congregation in a very, very large church and began by saying, "What I'm about to say to you is going to make you very angry, or at least some of you very angry," and proceeded to say that it troubles my heart greatly that in America today, we cannot speak freely, we cannot speak our minds, we cannot voice an opinion without making people angry and without pissing them off in plain English. And I started thinking about that and realizing that how then does this deacon interpret that anger and make sense out of it for myself, for the church? How do I deliver a message of hope that doesn't make some people angry? I don't know. Let me read something to you that I came across this week, which really kind of sums up the mood of the country. Because it seems to me to be more divisiveness now than ever before. There's so much mistrust, anger, and suspicion. And it's not just about America. It's like a global pandemic almost. It's all over. So listen closely. We no longer have to ask ourselves if we are approaching a state of emergency. We are in the midst of it, right here and now, and we expect the future to mirror the past. It is in the midst of this dark world that we are invited to live and radiate hope. Is it possible? Can we become light, salt, and leaven to our brothers and sisters in the human family? Can we offer hope, courage, and confidence to the people of this era? Do we dare break through our paralyzing fear? Will people be able to say to us, see how they love each other and how they serve their neighbor and how they pray to their Lord? Or do we have to confess that at this juncture in history, We just do not have the needed strength or generosity. How can we live in hope so as to give hope? And how do we find true joy? Now, here's the irony, maybe even the rub. That was written by Henry Nouwen, a Catholic priest and theologian, 38 years ago. And there's a certain something about it that we are still saying the same thing, that something written 38 years ago can hold so true today. It probably speaks a lot to the fact that, you know, we're doomed to keep repeating history. But what gets in the way? You know, what gets in the way? The scriptures and literature are filled with allusions and metaphors about light and darkness. And darkness always puts up a good struggle to overcome things. But in the end, light usually shows a way forward. But what gets in the way? You know, in Matthew's gospel today, we hear, "You are children of light." What gets in the way? Well, I dare to say that I think what gets in the way is our anger and our lack of willingness to be responsible for our anger. It's much easier to blame everybody else rather than take responsibility for it. So I'm reminded of the 13th century Sufi mystic and philosopher Rumi. And he tells a parable about a monk who needed some peace and quiet and wanted to get away from the craziness of the monastery and the world. So he got into his boat and he sailed out to the middle of the lake. It was quiet and it was peaceful. And for hours of uninterrupted time, he was able to meditate. And suddenly, bam, a boat bumped into his boat and interrupted his meditation. And he became filled with rage and anger. And as he was standing up to turn around to tell the boatman off, he turns around and sees an empty boat, and realized that the boat must have come unmoored or untethered from the shore and drifted out and accidentally hit his boat. But then he had a great awakening, because he realized that that anger that he felt belonged to him. Nobody else. It was his. And all it took to bring it out was a bump. And he spent the rest of his life in such a way that every time he came across a person or was in a situation or heard something that made him angry, really pissed him off, he looked at that and thought, an empty boat. That anger belongs me. And it doesn't take much, does it, to bump the anger out of us these days? We don't even have to look too far. You just stand still and boom, it's there. So what do we do about it? How do we choose to take responsibility for our anger? How do we remember that in fact we are children of light? Because if we don't, we're just going to be beaten up and pounded day in and day out with all this anger. And I don't know about you, but life's too short. You know, I like to think to myself, I can't deal with my own drama, much less anybody else's drama. You know, and I can barely deal with my own anger and not anybody else's anger. So I think it's important to view those situations and remember what Rumi said, and just see it as an empty boat. And before we react, think about where it's coming from. So, it seems to me that God said, love your neighbor. And I said, that's not so easy. And he replied, neighbor, I know. Amen. My work is done here. I can leave now. Nap time.